Welcome to Three in the Box. This is the Meat Beast. I'm sitting here with Aaron.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Kenny.
What up?
And our lovely producer, Jive, sitting in the background making sure that we don't sound like total ass unless we're making ourselves sound stupid. Tonight, obviously, we are going to recap what's going on in the playoff picture coming up to the high school hockey tournament that'll be held at the X. We'll discuss all the fun going on in the Minnesota College hockey, primarily Gophers, but we do have to give a nod of the hat to the ladies. And we will also, of course, discuss our beloved Wild and the chaos that is ensuing there. Good God, I just totally had a brain fart right as I finished that rant. Thank you very much for listening, and thanks for tuning in again to hear us. We are going to start off with the Gophers.
Yeah, it was a tough weekend, to be honest.
Playing Minnesota State,
home.
And, yeah, it looks like the home team lost, regardless of which home team it was, unless I'm sorely mistaken.
I'm going to say Minnesota as the home team, they lost.
And
but I think...
But Minnesota State, as a home team, lost.
Right.
As well. So the
Gophers obviously have retained their number one spot in the NCAA rankings.
But let's start off with Friday night. That was the first loss of the night for Minnesota.
That was the first loss for the U of M in 8 games or 9 games?
Since November. I don't know how many games
longer
it
than
is.
That.
Yeah, they've had a bit.
A long unbeaten streak, and that was enough to, it was a close game. It really was. 2-1 win for Minnesota State. It was chippy. The whole series is pretty damn chippy.
Not as bad as Nodak.
No, but that's Nodak.
Well, that's not the rivalry that North Dakota versus the University of Minnesota.
No, I wouldn't expect that, but it was still... it was still very physical games between both teams Friday and Saturday night.
And honestly, I don't know how much you guys caught of Friday night's game, but at Mariucci, it seemed like the same sort of passion that fell over from last season. Because last year they had a really close game at Mariucci as well. I think me and Josh actually went to that one.
Yeah, we did.
And it was really chippy. Last year was really chippy.
Yeah, well, we should give a nod of the hat to MX and Ryan for sitting with us and putting up with us throwing popcorn at them.
But last year was a really close game, really
and
chippy.
A very fun game, and yeah, a lot of high spiritedness. I think would be a good way to put it.
Right, you get a lot of the non-fight fights,
a lot of the John, a lot of the dirty pool. Old
they'll give
sports.
You the 2 minutes for roughing or unsportsmanlike conduct.
I mean, honestly,
it's like they're fighting without fighting.
How much fighting can you do when you got full masks on though?
Oh, I mean,
okay. How much spearing can you do when you got full masks on? Oh, yeah, that happens a decent chunk.
You know what? You're better off going for the body at that point. Sorry.
And I was wrong. I know there was a list of the amount of wins the Gophers had, but that did not count the ties that were within North Dakota and Colorado College.
But they had no losses. They had an unbeaten streak.
Yes,
and that was since Thanksgiving time. But also, they hadn't played a road game in that same span either.
No, you're right.
They had a huge stretch of
very valid
home games. I know they made a point of that on Saturday night.
Their last loss actually was versus Omaha at home. Or wait, was that at home? One quick second.
It would have been...
That was at home at Mariucci on November 30th.
Right. So it's been... month and a half since they've
had a really, really great run.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, do you see, speaking of the Gophers this weekend, do you see very many home and home series between college hockey teams?
You do when they're close.
Right. What you got to think next year when switches over to the U of M being part of the Big Ten, that's going to change.
I would like to see more of that.
But you're going to see less of it. You probably are.
You think so?
Oh, I would bet on it. I mean, while the WCHA has a lot of teams from Minnesota in that conference, the Big Ten, there's travel time. And it's a insignificant number.
You talk about Penn State all of a sudden getting involved, and who else? That's the farthest that I can think of for travel time right now is Penn State. Maybe you can think of something farther for Minnesota.
But if you look at the home and homes that the U of M does right now, it is pretty much contained to Minnesota.
Well, and I think that's why they do that, though, is because it is a home-and-home series where it's a two-hour bus ride, an hour-and-a-half bus ride.
But you usually don't
nothing very far.
But usually don't do back-to-backs with non-conference teams.
As we have discussed, however, when the Gophers go to the Big Ten, they're still looking at a home-and-home with North Dakota.
I think so.
So this whole question of home-and-home, it does happen. It probably happens more frequently outside of Minnesota. We see it more just within our teams. Admittedly, a lot of places have better railroad connections where they can hop a train and get there in no time.
I also think it's very easy inside of Minnesota, especially for hockey, where it's an hour and a half trip up to Duluth, an hour and a half trip down to Mankato, an hour trip up to St. Cloud State, 2 hours, 3 hours up to North Dakota. I mean, it's very easy to get away with that to do a home and home right now.
Sure.
And I would love to see those rivalries. I mean, I don't want to see those go away.
And hey, thank you, Obama, for saying we need better train service between all the states so that hopefully we can get more of these home and homes where they're not dealing with buses and can get quick and easy.
What
cheap,
year
affordable
are we talking
transport.
About right now?
1862. All right, and as we get back, let's see. So Friday night, the Gophers lost two to one.
Schmidt had a goal. He's the lone scorer for the Gophers on Friday night.
Mankato, definitely stepping up a bit better than I would have expected him to.
Yeah, and all the scoring in the second period. So it was a pretty slow first and a pretty slow third. But that second period, there's a lot of scoring going on, and
I didn't get to catch much of the game. I was fairly more than overly busy at work during the actual game time, so I was just kind of casually trying to watch reports and box scores. I do want to point out that Kenny totally lost track of the conversation because he was too busy throwing the bird up at the wall that we have the Wild versus the Blackhawks game projecting on.
Blackhawks just
to let you know, we are actually recording this on Wednesday, January 30th. This will be available to listen to almost immediately, and then tomorrow evening it will re-air on Cyanet Radio at 8 p.m.
But right,
I digress. Let's get back
Russell
to it.
The
so
Gophers.
All the scoring on Friday was in the second period.
There was one late in the third. I think that was a that was early in the third. And that basically set it up. The Gophers were playing catch-up the rest of the third period, and they weren't able to catch them. That's really what it amounted to.
But all right. You know, and looking at Saturday, or did you have something on Friday yet, Ken?
No. I was going to say, but they did come back and actually make their presence known on Saturday. So if you guys would like to touch on
Saturday. It wasn't even a catch-up. U of M destroyed Minnesota State on Saturday. 4-1, they had the lead early. They gave up. They don't want to say they gave up the lead, but they had a 2-0 lead. Looked like Minnesota State might come back. They had a goal disallowed late in the game, where they went for review. That would have tied it up. That was reversed, and then the U of M piled on at the end, getting goals for the U of M. You have Justin Hall, Nate Schmidt. Budish getting a goal, and Holla getting a goal as well.
All right, and actually, coming up for the weekend, it looks like not everybody has the weekend off. UMD is playing Denver. Denver's flying up to UMD on Friday night. Michigan Tech will be playing in Nebraska Friday night. St. Cloud State playing Bemidji Friday night at Bemidji. And then Wisconsin's at Ralph Engelstad Arena in Nodak. Colorado College is at Alaska Anchorage. Saturday night, we got Denver at UMD still, Michigan Tech at Nebraska Omaha, St. Cloud State at Bemidji State, Wisconsin at Nodak still, and Colorado College at Alaska Anchorage. And that's what you got for your WCHA picture coming up this weekend.
And I'd just like to point out that we do have some of the games that are the Gophers aren't playing next weekend, but after that we do have two road games at St. Cloud State, and after that we have that outdoor game.
At Soldier Field, right?
Soldier Field.
On the 17th, is that
correct? Yeah, against Wisconsin.
And I'm looking at possibly heading down to Chicago to Soldier Field to check that one out. Let's see. Now, if we said we were going to go into the Gophers women's.
Yeah.
Admittedly, no offense, women. I apologize for our gender bias that we have had. We are trying to work on amending that. Granted, we decided to do that 2 minutes ago.
Noura Raithi, Gophers senior goalie.
Which we've given all kudos to more than once on this show.
Has been the defensive player of the week. She was on with Backstrom during Hockey Day in Minnesota after everything was said and done.
Nice.
Very good-looking blonde.
Okay, but what's your point there?
Gophers hockey.
She's an athlete.
Whether she's going to look good no matter what. So let's bring it down to something real.
Gophers women hockey, though, currently this season are sitting at 20-0.
Yeah, undefeated.
Undefeated.
No ties, even.
It's 20-0-0.
Yeah. So if you haven't gotten to check out the Gophers girls team.
Minnesota Duluth is the closest behind them with 37 points, and the Gophers women are sitting at 60 points. Not even close behind. I mean, I'm sorry.
That's a very, very decidedly crushing. Is that overall in the NCAA or is that just in the WCHA?
That's WCHA currently. I'm pretty sure that they're still ranked number one in the NCAA women's. If they're not, there's something wrong with the reporters doing the polls. I think we talked about it last week that they actually broke the record for most wins in a row by a women's hockey team. With 33.
Hell yeah. All power to them. And they've always had a very great program that has not been paid nearly enough attention to, and we're going to start paying more attention to it, just because we like boobs.
Hey, Josh, I'm just...
And not just because we like hockey. We like both.
Just looking at their numbers right now. goals for is 104. The closest next to them is 59.
I digress, but... I'm surprised that other Minnesota girls teams haven't been competitive. UMD, Minnesota State,
well, the
St. Cloud.
The second place team is UMD.
But they're way behind.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
they're
sitting at 12-7-1.
12-7-1 versus 20, which is a 20-0. That's a realistic winning team's record right there. 12-7-1 is a realistic.
Sure,
like,
that's a
great team right there. That's a very good team.
Yeah,
that's
no
a competitive
doubt.
Team. That's somebody that can fight to win for
maybe
overall in the U.S. collegiate experience.
Okay,
but when you're looking at a totally undefeated team, that's 20-0-0.
Maybe it's just a matter that the bottom feeders in girls hockey are just really bottom feeders. You know, there's not the same recruitment that there is.
As in
men's sports, especially in hockey, and maybe that really hurts the bottom feeders.
Okay.
So that a team like the U of M can come through and just clean up on all these bottom feeders, whereas teams like St. Cloud or UMD can be competitive.
And to
but,
be fair,
you know, they're still going to lose to the U of M.
To be fair, the hockey overall in the U.S. as a whole. I'm not talking about Minnesota at all.
Right,
I'm not talking about our listenership or our, you know, our feelings on it.
Right.
Is considered a second tier sport.
Or fourth or fifth tier.
It's considered
depending.
It was a second tier sport until Bettman decided to stick his dick in it again. Now, it may be a little lower because of the lockout.
Right.
Okay.
Realistically, however, it's taking just a few minutes, 2 weeks. For us to start going and to within the first week, we were already bringing up the goalies from the Gophers women's team. And now we're actually getting to the point where we're like, okay, guys, really go buy the tickets and watch these games because you're going to see some amazing play from these ladies.
Gentlemen.
And you're going to enjoy just the pure game of hockey.
Just to talk about this, not even talking about the Minnesota Golden Gophers women hockey team. I'm talking about number 2 and number 3 team, which happens to be Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs and Wisconsin Badgers. These are
all right.
These are their stats right now, which are actually very, very good for any hockey team in general. You've got win losses. You got a 12-7-1 for for Minnesota Duluth, 11-9-2 for Wisconsin. Bulls sitting at 37 points.
Well, the thing is, though.
Wait.
Where are the bottoms sitting? That's the thing is, you could have three good teams in a league, and if you have eight teams that stink.
No.
Specifically,
these aren't even three good teams. These are number two and number three. We're not even counting the Gophers in right now.
Take it down a notch.
I think you don't understand
what
I'm saying.
You're getting a little heated.
I think you don't understand what I'm saying.
We are talking about strictly divisional at
this
point.
Just
not
WCHA.
The full NCAA
we understand that.
A picture.
So where are the bottom teams sitting?
In the WCHA.
In the WCHA.
4-15-1 and 4-17-1.
Exactly. If you got teams that like that are they're just sitting at the bottom and losing to everyone. Of course, there's going to be a team like the U of M that just is going
to
come through. And
but if we're going to compare it to the men's team, the Alaska Anchorage is still only got one win for the season, unless I'm sorely mistaken.
Well, and I think my point is that the girls' league is set up more like there's four Anchorage teams, and then Minnesota, and then a couple other Minnesota teams, lesser Minnesota teams.
Well,
so you've got the talent divide is much greater than if you look at the men's side.
Currently.
Right, currently, yes. No disagreement.
It's been a growing sport.
Sure.
The women's hockey has been growing wonderfully. And, Gophers, obviously, going to the U of M to play hockey is never considered a bad decision. Any WCHA school you'd reckon to be a great school to go to.
Here's my analogy. It's like the dream team of basketball in the 90s. We showed up, U.S. showed up, and we kicked ass, right?
Crushed it.
Then other countries started to figure out, okay, we need to develop a team.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, now they're competitive. And, you know, when it comes to international competitions, the U.S. doesn't come in there and just clean house. They've lost. And
mightily at that.
And eventually you figure that's going to happen with the U of M girls.
Isn't that why Yao got his contract was when China won basketball?
Yeah.
And
so, I mean, eventually it's going to come to a point where these other schools realize they need to develop their girls teams if they want to compete, not just in boys sports, but in girls sports
well,
as
and
well.
And anytime something as asinine as Bettman deciding he needs to lock out on something again, any work stoppage of the NHL, hey, go to one of the girls' games. Guess what? They're just as good. The only thing you might get offended at is if they make a check-in call.
Okay, well, here's WCHA standings with women's hockey right now. You've got Minnesota sitting at 26-0-0, and right behind them is Boston College, which is 19-4-2, which honestly, 19-4-2 is not a record to be laughed at, especially for a college hockey team.
Is this NCAA?
This is NCAA.
Okay, but what's their division like? You're skipping over what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you also got Harvard that's sitting at 17-2-1, and BU that's sitting at 17-3-3. I mean,
the high and the three, you guys. You pull one thing, you're out of this game.
I guess I don't know where to go from there.
You threw Kenny for a loop on that one.
Thanks, John.
Easily distracted by shiny objects, and thank you very much, Jive. You're doing your job great.
I mean, I'm just saying that.
Wait, I thought he said he didn't know where to go.
I didn't. But, I mean, I'm looking at some of these other records. Cornell is 16-4-0. Clarkson, where the hell is Clarkson at? Is 26-0.
You're just reinforcing what I'm saying. You're not talking about the divisions that they're in.
Yeah,
if the competition they're up against is horrible, they're in a clean house.
Right now, there isn't enough divisional play or conference play until you get to the full tilt boogie of the collegiate playoffs.
So, what are we saying here in general? That we need more women's hockey?
More or less. I mean, ultimately, we're saying people should pay more attention to it because there are some amazing teams out there to watch. And that also, it's going to be something that's going to slowly develop as the teams just expand out. And more women go, you know what? Yeah, I can play and I wanted to play. So guess what? I'm going to.
All right.
High school.
Gentlemen, I think that was the most that we've ever spent on a women's hockey team.
And I blame you. Moving on to
high
school.
I'm blaming your crush on, what's her name again? What was the goalie?
Oh, yeah, the goalie for U of M.
Such a crush, I can't remember her name.
It begins with an R. Come on, Kenny, you can do it. You can do it.
That would be that 22-year-old. That
good God. Okay, so getting into the high school AA ranking right now. Hill Murray's number one in the AA. Benilde St. Margaret's in number two currently. Duluth East has moved into the number three spot. All these are teams that have been moving up. Edina's in number four. Minnetonka staying neutral at number five. Wayzata has dropped down to number six. Excuse me. Good God. Kenny, that beef jerky was delicious, but wow, it made me burp. Sorry about that to listeners at home. I'm positive that it was the beef jerky. Wayzata, like I said, dropped down to number six. Egan is holding steady at number seven. Blaine has moved up to number eight. Centennial is currently dropping down to number nine. And Grand Rapids has snuck into the number 10 spot coming into the high school men's playoffs over at the X. We should bring up one quick thing that we didn't announce at the beginning. And we did have Kenny and Aaron both made it over to Crashed Ice. Unfortunately, my work schedule kept me from it as much as I wanted to. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I got down there for the first two preliminary days. Got down there for Thursday. Got there on time, according to what they had posted online. And it was too cold for them to skate.
There were times we're all kind of jacked throughout the weekend.
We had some serious inclement weather, like coldness-wise.
Right. It was so cold where ice was chipping off and making the track dangerous. More dangerous than it already is.
I think that's kind of humorous because last year I thought it was actually colder.
It was right on par. I mean,
about the same then.
Yeah, I would say. I think this.
I think last year was a little warmer.
I think this year, as a group, as at least me and Kenny going down there, we were more prepared for the cold.
Yeah,
and sitting around and standing on ice for several hours in a row.
And admittedly, last year, it being the first time they had it here, they weren't going to let anything run late no matter what.
Yeah.
They were too worried about anybody that showed up. They didn't want them freezing their
asses. Well, that's the difference between being the first run last year and being the final run this year.
And it isn't the final run, though, this year.
I thought it was.
Nope. I can't remember where they're going. I think it might be the final run in North America.
That's an accurate statement, if I remember correctly.
So I want to say they're going to, like, the Netherlands or something like
didn't
that.
They
really? Oh, so they're going back to Europe.
Yeah.
Didn't they do Duluth early this year?
No, they didn't do Duluth at all.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They did Niagara Falls before St. Paul.
Fair enough.
But part of the problem also was what I found is you had two different run times on the Red Bull site. And then a third time on the City of St. Paul website, none of them corroborated each other. So you had no idea when things were starting, especially with the preliminaries. I'm sure Saturday night went off no problem, but the preliminary days were just a mess. And the cold only exacerbated that problem.
Yeah.
That being said, I still think last year was better. I think fans were able to get closer up to the boards than they were this year. They had more designated photography pits set up this year.
Oh, very nice.
Except you needed a pass to get into there.
And unfortunately, this year, somehow we didn't have
that.
That was an error that one of our interns made and then quit communicating properly.
So, but I do say the course this year was much faster than it was last year.
I agree.
The starting podium was probably half a story higher.
Oh, nice. And so they had a little more speed going.
Generally speaking, the track was the same design. It came from a different angle from the start, but it was pretty much similar all the way through. They got rid of moguls at the bottom, so it made it a little bit faster at the bottom.
Nice.
The big curve about midway through. The big wall curve. I thought it felt higher. Kenny thought it was about the same, but it also had like a chunk of it taken out, so if you didn't hit that curve at the right speed, you drop a foot. 2 foot, something like that.
Yeah, no, yeah, okay. If you took the inside corner on that, you kind of were dropping about a foot
right
after you got through with it.
Oh, nice. So they had basically a quick drop off, like a little partial wall on the inside track.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So they made you take it high unless you were ready to jump and then
hit
the far
if you don't
wall.
Have the speed, you're kind of screwed on that corner.
And the people that we saw take it usually the people that were going over that were the people that were already laid out. They were just kind of falling over that. So they weren't trying to go over it. It was happenstance that they went over that.
Do we know what events? So we know they're done with North America, correct?
Yeah, and I believe Croxall won again.
The
Croxalls took first and second, I think.
First.
First and third?
Naz's took third.
I thought he took third. Cardi. He took third.
But it was a Finn, I think, that took second.
No, Croxalls. Both the brothers took first and second.
I
swear to God.
I don't believe
it. All right. We'll get some fact-checking going on.
So anyways, while we're doing that, how about the Wild Boys?
Okay. Yeah, we can go there.
Yeah. it's about Wild Time.
It's about Wild Time. I had a couple of thoughts I was going to bring up, but let's just go right into the Wild. They've been on a little bit of a downswing since we talked to you last. Somebody did bring up something to me, but I'm just going to argue that they have not been winning. They've been kind of...
Well, I mean...
Hiccuping, as it were. They've been in a little bit of a hiccup right now.
Yeah, they haven't been doing very well. They had their first road trip of the season.
Detroit St. Louis.
Detroit St. Louis. Then they were back home for Columbus.
Right.
But since we actually talked last, I don't think we brought up the Predators loss. I mean, we may have. I think we brought it up, but just barely. So we're looking at a loss to the Predators, a loss to the Red Wings, an overtime loss to the Blues. Now, no offense, but I still thought of that as a loss.
The Wild got lucky that they got a point out of that one. Honestly, they probably didn't deserve that point. They looked manhandled for most of that game.
Congrats to Ken Hitchcock.
Oh my God! As long as he finishes his sentence, he hiccups, and then we just sit silent. It's Kenny. Good call.
Fuck you guys for waiting for it.
No, you hiccuped immediately after the sentence, and then we just stopped and looked at each other. And went, really? Oh God!
Where do we go from there?
The rough part is that I can't call him the nickname I gave him years ago on air because this is why. Look at how appropriate it would be right now.
But anyway, I felt in the St. Louis game they were really manhandled. They won last night against the Blue Jackets. But
still very manhandled.
No, they weren't. I don't think they were manhandled.
They came out of the gate looking great.
But the problem is the Blue Jackets stink. And
the fact that they tied it up in the second.
Right.
The fact
after
that
a
Todd
dominating
Richards still can't win a game in the X.
What?
Huh?
Last night, Todd Richards still cannot win a game in the X. Former Minnesota Wild head coach.
Yes. He did lose. But I think in general they weren't manhandled by Columbus. However,
they left too many opportunities.
They really
where
did.
They let Columbus rally and let Mason get back and have some comfort and not keep the pressure on him to keep him off his game after taking such a strong early lead and making him turn into a sieve. They didn't capitalize on that.
And it's really a hollow victory because it's the Blue Jackets. They're the one of the worst teams in the league.
It was
over the last half decade.
It was a no-brainer that we were going to win. And
right.
The fact that we had to actually bite our tongues and go, wait, oh, come on. No, please just please do it. And obviously with Parisi's kind of volleyball setting the puck in and having them review that as much as they did. Admittedly, I could not see what happened with that well enough from where I was watching it. I was watching it at a bar. I was far away from the screen. I had to text my roommate, who I knew was in front of a 60-inch screen 4 feet away from it, to go, what was that? I watched the replay. What were they pulling that back on? Because it looked like they were looking to see if Heatley was in the crease when they threw it to booth review.
And I had to say, initially, that's what I thought they were reviewing, too, was in the crease part. But then once they – I don't know why I cued on in it, but I could tell that they were talking about him punching it in. And I think it was obvious he did. His arm was moving where it wasn't previously because he saw the puck coming towards him.
he definitely reacted, and right. from how I was looking at it, from where I was sitting, I couldn't tell if it was the butt of his stick that he hit it with to knock it in, or whether or not it caromed off his shoulder, or whether it caromed off his forearm or elbow.
Right. But even if it had come off the stick, it probably still would have ended up being a high sticking, because his arms were up.
It was coming off the butt of the stick, though.
Right.
And his stick never broke the plane of his shoulders at any point, so it wouldn't have qualified as a high stick.
True. But even so, I mean, it was questionable enough where...
Not being able to hear and not being able to see what actually happened right. well enough. I mean, granted, they had high-def TVs, but they were just a little too far away for me to see, hence why I had to text my roommate.
Yeah, I'm not surprised why they turned it back. I mean, it wasn't surprising.
When I rewatched it earlier today, and all I watched was, like, I fast-forwarded right up to that point and went, oh, okay, because I wanted to find out, because, yeah, it would have been nice for Parise to get his 200th career NHL right. goal. And, yeah, let's see.
But I think overall, over this, you know, span, even though the Wild haven't been terribly good, Suter, I think, has been playing a bit better. He's got, what, 4 assists over the last 3 games?
He's slowly easing into the system.
I think...
There's some points last night where... Excuse me. Last night and tonight where I actually had to... curse both Gilbert and Suter for, and it's all because we had such a condensed training camp, condensed preseason. Everybody could have been pulling their shit off fine had they had the time to actually work towards it.
Right.
Whereas this year, they're still sending people down and pulling people up and trying to decide who can be on the bench.
And maybe as much as I was a detractor saying that, I didn't think the lack of a preseason would hurt them. I think I'm gonna flip back on myself and say, I think the lack of a preseason has hurt them, especially with Suter. I think he needed time to get acclimated with who his line mates were going
to
be.
Well, and some of this also still comes down to even Kenny's snarky comment about Richards. They never gave him enough time when he was the Wild head coach to actually try and change true. From Lemaire's system. So I don't think it's fair to actually flip him that bit of shit. He probably shouldn't have gotten fired.
I think a lot of people were surprised that it happened when it happened.
Yes.
But at the same point...
It was a change of ownership. It was a change of but it really management wasn't, all around that same time frame. And they gave him 1 year. And unfortunately, 1 year
two
is
years.
Not... Oh, they did. That's right. They did give him 2. But when you're changing from an entire Lemaire's defensive trap, I mean that
right,
a very defensive style of play, trying to move over to a very offensive format, it's going to take a while, especially when you're not making a bunch of moves for the players that naturally play that style.
And so I'm going
to. Right now, we're still dealing with the kind of balanced style that Yo is trying to put out there.
And so, and speaking of Lemaire and his system, I'm going to point out a guy who thrived under Lemaire's system, who I think, especially this last week, has shown he's got some major flaws in his game, at least early in the season.
Okay.
And that's going to be Backstrom.
Oh, God, yeah.
On Friday, you had Detroit, where he went out. Or was that Detroit? That must have been.
Yeah, Friday was Detroit.
Yeah,
Detroit. No, that was Harding. Harding was Friday.
Oh yeah,
I was thinking the Nashville game. Sorry,
okay. St. Louis.
He basically had a backdoor open near the end of the game where it was like they could have landed a 747 in that back door. His left or right movement is not there.
I saw your post on Facebook on that, and it was like, oh, that's why we lost? Oh, no, that actually has nothing to do with that. Great, never mind.
I mean, basically...
I've always liked Backstrom. I think he's always been a solid goalie, but this year he looks like he's out of place.
His movement left or right isn't what it was. I mean, I don't think he was ever a really good left or right goalie. He would stop a straight-on shot, nobody's business. But I don't think his left to right has always ever been very that good. But it's this year, I think it's really exposed.
Have you seen him move that far left to right in the crease prior to this year? I don't know if I have.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, Backstrom is always left to right.
I've seen him go post to post very, very well and have both sides locked up, full shoulder and everything.
But he's also getting outside of the crease more and more.
And not having the awareness
shit,
he should.
Hell out of me.
I think he's being a little more sloppy and not having the awareness he should, especially with defensive pairings who haven't gotten comfortable with each other
right.
yet.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, in my experience, Harding has always been the one who's flopping around, going way out of the crease and taking chances like that.
Harding will make you freak because of the chances he takes, but he
but
owns
Harding's
every chance he takes.
Harding's always been solid when he does it.
Whereas
whereas
Backstrom, he's taking these chances now where he hasn't traditionally, I would say, and he's bombing on him. I mean, he's just failing miserably.
Well, and that could be because he's trying to change his style of play to help improve his
Why
game.
Why change when what you've been doing has been working good for you?
I'd argue it hasn't.
Because of the constrained preseason, and yes, there is an argument for it hasn't. When they had a more defensive-oriented coaching system and he had a lot more support, he could get away with how he's playing.
I totally agree because, like, I think Aaron mentioned,
he needs to change to get up to where they're at right now, trying to be more offensive. Obviously, like, even putting it's a bold move to put PMB as a blue liner on the power play, in my opinion. Like,
you know,
we talk about how it's a very aggressive power play unit that's put out there all in the left hand. That is accurate, but it's also kind of risky. There's a lot of times that you'll catch the blue liner out of position.
Right. Well, that's been one thing that's kind of, I think, plagued the Wild this year is that they're giving up turnovers and the defensemen are way out of position. And so basically it turns into a one-on-one or one-on-none, a breakaway. If we're lucky, it's a two-on-one or something like that. There's been odd man rushes.
Yeah, a lot of odd man rushes on the shorthand this year.
It hasn't been good, you know.
Part of that is, like I said, taking the risk of putting PMB on the blue line. PMB is not a blue liner. He proved it greatly last night when he caught that no look. It wasn't even supposed to be a pass to him, I don't think. He was just moving that quick and crossing the blue line. Went, oh, here's the puck. Never mind. Let me just put it in the net. Screw you.
Hey, Josh, going off of
great
that.
Great job.
I mean, I do want to say, I mean, as far as blue liners, especially on the power play, Gilbert, I think, has stepped up a little bit, catching some bad passes and going back. Last night's game in particular with his goal where he stepped up and he got his goal.
He did get his goal.
He got his goal stepping up. And then also on the back check where he ended up coming back and catching up to the skater on the shorthanded breakaway where he ended up helping break up the pass with Backstrom saving the goal.
While I do think he was better yesterday, it still was the Blue Jackets. And I still think he has a problem. He's an offensive defenseman, which I have no problem with. But
great blue liner for the power play, then.
A
better choice than PMB, in my opinion.
No doubt. But the problem is that what I see from Gilbert is a lot of turnovers and then him being out of position defensively.
Or things like early tonight with when Taze goal that we were watching right after the Wild scored their first goal. The second goal the Blackhawks scored, which was in the first 5 minutes of this game that we're currently still watching, he was the defenseman on Taze. Taze knew exactly, like, Taze timed it and waited for his shot until after Gilbert had just kind of teased him with his stick, going, okay, your stick's not on the ice, taking the shot now, and I know you're not going to hook me because I know you're going to play clean.
Right, I mean.
And he made sure to punish him for it and put it right at Harding and five-hold him beautifully. Quick thing I want to talk about. Possibly the fastest goalie pull in the NHL ever tonight, especially with only two goals let in, only a one-goal deficit. Harding pulled at the six-and-a-half-minute mark.
Probably the fastest one-goal deficit pull I can remember, easily.
Like, you might do that at the period break, because if you were only at a one-goal deficit against a highly offense-oriented team.
An unbeaten team.
An unbeaten team at that, yes. why? Why would you even consider pulling your goalie that quickly?
Sad part is, though, you know what? Chicago hasn't scored another goal. So,
guess what? Backstrom just proved all our arguments wrong.
Until the shootout, right. It doesn't prove the argument wrong. It just proves that Yo was okay with that decision. It doesn't mean that Harding wouldn't have done the same thing. It really doesn't.
It still bothers me. One thing I will say, regardless of Kenny's feelings on Pierre McGuire, regardless of that,
shut up, Pierre.
NBC's coverage of this game, I'm glad they followed Harding because he went right to the bench and he stepped right past to go into the hallway, turned around, and just broke his
beat
stick.
Beat the hell out of his
beat
stick.
Beat the hell out of the wall with his stick. And the passion and the sheer just vitriol
that has nothing to do with Pierre McGuire. That has all to do with the production crew.
Like, no, I know, but still, it was the NBC production crew, not Fox Sports North. So I wanted to at least give that and go, thank you for showing the passion of that man who is dealing with some health issues, and we all agree should not have gotten pulled. I can't remember what my exact words were, but I know it was something truly horrible.
No, just pulling him that early, I think, was a mistake.
Right.
The fact that they actually showed his emotions after the fact, I agree with.
The fans need to see that.
No, like, absolutely.
Especially the fans like us that are watching and going, okay, we know you're good. We love you for it, and we know that you're fighting tooth and nail for us, and we know we're down by one. Who cares?
All right, boys.
We needed to see that. Real quick.
Player of the week.
Player of the week. Last week's poll. We'll run down the winners here. Okay, so I nominated Danny Heatley, 3 goals in 3 games for the Wild. Kenny nominated Zach Greinke, Egan, with the hat trick on Hockey Day Minnesota. Jive nominated Harding, who had the shutout, his first shutout when he came back from MS. And
first shutout of the year.
And Josh had Nate Connan go for his 2 goals in 2 games for CUND. The winner was Josh.
Well, no, the winner was Condon.
Fair enough.
I just happened to nominate him.
You just
now,
happened to nominate
him. Real quick, before we get on to that, I want to say the Wild are playing the Ducks this Friday away, and then Monday they'll be playing the Coyotes over in Phoenix. So if you're going to be watching, you'll be watching on the telly for that. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to give a longer schedule because guess what? We are taking next week off due to some vacations and family issues. And all of us have stuff. We have busy lives. We don't get paid for this yet. So, you know, maybe donate us money. But we'll be back at home. The Wild will be back at home on Thursday next week against the Canucks. And then against the Predators on Saturday, Calgary on Monday the 11th, and then the Canucks again away on Tuesday the 12th.
So, player of the week this week. So I'll go first since I tied Kenny for last. My choice is going to be Nate Schmidt. 2 goals for the Gophers this weekend. He had the one goal, sole goal on Friday, and then he had one of the goals on Saturday. And so I'm going to run with that and go with Nate Schmidt. I don't think the Wild had meant much for anyone. So
no, the only one I'd see from the Wild would maybe be Mikko.
Okay.
I'm not taking him for my poll.
Okay, then who are you taking? You got to choose. You're up.
All right, you know what? I'm going with Mikko Koivu.
Okay.
You know, honestly, he gets knocked out of the face-off circles. We got our producer over here laughing.
Well, he had 2 goals over the week. I mean,
he did. He had 2 goals. He had a few assists in there. Honestly, don't piss off that Finn because you piss him off, and he tends to come back with a vengeance. So I'm going with Mikko.
Jive, we're looking at you for the next pick.
He's picking Parisi.
Really?
He's saying he's earning his money.
Well, he's definitely earning his money, and he's looking at
it. I agree. I mean, Parisi is earning his money.
The next goal he rings in that sweater is his 200th career goal. Hopefully, we'll see that before the end of this.
I mean, between him and Suter, who do you think is earning his money more?
Well, Suter is being paid for something different. He's being paid
for a defenseman.
He's a defensive defenseman. He's not going to score like Parisi. And anyone who expects that is deluded.
Nobody expects him to, but I would expect his plus minus to be a little higher than what it is currently.
Okay, give me a second because I got to actually look this up again. I had this up, and apparently my brain sucks as a human being. Jive, did you already give out your reasons outside of these two sucking Parisi's dick?
Wow.
Did you have reasons to, too soon?
I mean, he's been the single shining light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In all those losses.
You know, he almost had his 200th goal.
He had four goals over that same period.
Yeah.
You do the math.
Last night, Tuesday night's game against Columbus was his first game without a point.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Four goals over three games. I mean.
And a couple of assists on top of it.
He's more than been earning his paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
And
in fact, I might vote for Parisi.
Fair enough.
Too late.
Are you logging everybody's choices right now?
I've forgot to.
Good, lovely. Because I'm going to go with Kenny's girlfriend, Noura Rahdi.
Nice.
Dude, that's who I was.
He's got such a crush on her, and he didn't have the stones to admit that he wanted to put her up. She's been in net for the women's Gophers team and doing a phenomenal job. I'm going to nominate her this week to be our player of the week.
I like it. I really like
it.
I'm
voting for Josh.
You're not voting for me.
Three, you guys. You pull one thing, you're out of this game.
I'm still voting for Josh.
All right, kids. Remember, we are taking next week off, but that would be, February 6th. We will not actually be airing an episode, but on February 13th, we will be back. We'll have all the news about what's going on. Hopefully, a little bit better coverage of the full Minnesota collegiate experience, and then the high school, and of course our beloved Wild. Thank you for listening. This is the Meat Beast. You can hear me on the Clubhouse Show on Signet Radio on Tuesday nights, also on this show, which, you know, we love you for. Gentlemen,
this is Aaron. You can follow me on Twitter at AaronGNP. I'd just like to put out a note that you can also send questions to questions@threeinthebox.com, and then we'll answer your questions if you've got any Minnesota hockey-related questions for us.
And this is Kenny. Aaron, I believe our Twitter account is the number 3?
That is correct.
In number 3 in the box at Twitter. And then you can also follow Kenny at RottenK999. Feel free to follow me. I post random hockey crap. So... it sounds like this is about it.
Well, I'm trying to get Jive to say goodnight, but apparently he doesn't want to.
Good night, folks.
All right. And, you'll be able to hear us Thursday nights on Signet Radio at 8 p.m. as a rebroadcast if you don't catch us on the website on Wednesday. Thank you very kindly, people. We'll be back in 2 weeks.